Well, quiet guys tonight. You guys are quiet. It's all right. It's okay. There we go. Fabian's here at least. So, you know, if you were here last week, we started Genesis chapter 24, and it's a super long chapter. And I mentioned last week, as we looked at the beginning, the lead-in, the first 10 verses, we're going to finish it tonight. And I'm going to read through and make a few comments. And then I wanted to share what I mentioned last week, but my personal testimony in relationship to this chapter, chapter 24 of Genesis. Very, very personal, very relevant to my life and my wife, our marriage together. And so I thought, you know, it might just be something different. I know usually we're all about it. We don't want to stray too far from the word, but it ties right in. And so thought I'd share that. But tonight we're going to see God's faithfulness. And he is the provider, Jehovah Jireh. And it doesn't matter if, it, in this case, it's a mate for the son of Abraham, Isaac, but there's always something where we're in a place in our life in need, and the Lord is faithful to provide in ways that we couldn't imagine. And it's just a matter of trusting him, and we'll see that that's the case for sure in this chapter. But certainly it is particularly about marriage and about providing a spouse. And, you know, I quoted Song of Solomon last week, don't awaken love until it's time. And it's a very difficult thing to do. The older you get and the more people are, your friends are married and you're not, or the more you go and watch a movie and it just reminds you that you haven't fallen in love and whatever. It's just, you know, the culture, and it's just the way we are. It's our human nature. A lot of us have that desire. And so, for sure, this is an encouragement to those of you maybe that you're in that position. It doesn't matter what season of life you're in, if that's where you are and you're waiting and waiting, the Lord is faithful. And it's a matter of where we put our eyes. And so, encourage you in that. And I guarantee you, when I get to share at the end, it'll encourage you, because God is just so faithful. But let's pick it up. So, and just by way of reminder, Abraham had decided, you know what, I got to get a wife for my son, because it was a culture of betrothal where they would find a spouse as parents that they thought was the right match. It was, fitting for their children to continue what they're doing as a family and their legacy, and it wouldn't be ruined by some crazy Canaanite woman or whatever. And so he's sending Eliezer, his head servant, who up until Isaac's birth was going to be his heir, to his, Abraham's heir to the inheritance. However, Isaac came along when Abraham was 100 years old, and everything was thought dead in the baby factory with his wife Sarai, and yet the Lord provided Isaac. And so now Isaac, we'll see, it's actually in the next chapter, we're not going to read that, but in chapter 25, we see that Isaac is 40. So he had waited till he was 40 and still no wife. And in that day and age, that's you're an old, not an old maid, whatever the man version of that is, but that was him. He'd been waiting and he wasn't married. And so this is where we left off, that his servant had gathered 10 camels and loaded up all the gear, the dowry, the offer that he'd make as a proposal to this potential bride. And they're going to go all the way back, week's journey, to the land that Abraham came from when he left the Ur of the Chaldees. And they're going to go all the way back there to find kin that would be of the same heritage, the same people as Abraham, and the same heart, you know, bringing one another up in the Lord. And so that's what's going on. And then the servant is expected to bring this woman, if she should come, all the way back to Canaan land. And she's going to leave everything behind if she agrees. So we pick up in verse 11, and it says, and I'm just going to read, I'll probably stop here and there, but it's pretty easy to listen to. It's a pretty cool story. Actually, let's pray first. That's probably a good idea. Heavenly Father, who are we that we might hear from heaven, and yet, Lord, you condescended yourself. You made yourself available to us through your son, Jesus, because you love us that much, Lord. And as we see this beautiful story of a groom in need of a bride, Lord, we're so thankful that you've chosen us as your bride, and you being our bridegroom, love us more than any earthly marriage could ever, any earthly spouse ever could. Lord, you love us terribly. You love us deeply. And so, Lord, as we just look at these scriptures, may it be an encouragement, may it be a reminder to any of us that are in a place of needing the provision of God, that are maybe in a place of getting restless, impatient, waiting on you. Lord, anything that you have in store for us is worth the wait. And there's no question about it. And so we'll see that tonight. We ask your blessing. May your Holy Spirit speak as we look at the scriptures now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, like I said, verse 11, and forgive me, my eyes are starting to be 50-year-old eyes here. He made the camels kneel down outside the city. So he had just arrived in Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of men of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. May it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. May she be the appointed one, whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this, I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please, let me drink a little water from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw. And she drew for all his camels. Quick little fact. A thirsty camel can drink 50 gallons of water. 50. He had 10 camels. So we're looking at between 300 and 500 gallons of water that she drew from this well and transferred to the trough. And those camels were just downing it. And she kept, you know, and this is fact. And so look at the heart of this woman. Look at the servant's heart of this woman. She didn't have to do that. He just asked for water. That's all he wanted. And she said, drink, my lord, and I'll water your camels also. And then, you know, probably somewhere in that ballpark of 400 gallons of water later, there's a conversation. So, and here it is. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence. His mind was blown to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. Wow, I just prayed that. I just asked that, and she immediately offered to draw water for my camels as well. Eleazar is like questioning when he, I don't know, should you question? It's kind of obvious. I think the Lord just answered your prayer. So when the camels had finished drinking, probably like however many hours later, I've never had a camel, I don't know, but boy, you bet you're going to have a high water bill. The man took a gold ring weighing a half shekel and two bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels in gold and said, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there a room for us to lodge in your father's house? She said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor. Again, she said to him, we have plenty of both straw and feed and room to lodge in. Then the man bowed low and worshiped the Lord. He said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. And so this man sees that, wow, God clearly is answering my request, my petition. He is a provider. This is beyond my imagination. He really was, even sometimes though we pray it, it still blows our mind. even though we are hoping for it, maybe our faith isn't quite up to the level of actually it seeing put through, but here the Lord sees it through. And so they go to her house. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. I think I missed a part where he said he put the jewelry on her, but nevertheless he did. He gave her that jewelry. And when he saw the ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "This is what the man said to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. And he said, "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I've prepared the house and a place for the camels?" So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Very hospitable people. I know it's cultural. My wife's actually from Albania, and there's a lot of overlap, that Mediterranean culture, very hospitable. They go above and beyond. When she was growing up, anytime people would just show up, it wasn't like there was no phone call. Family would just show up because they traveled, from their village all the way to her place. And she had to sleep on the floor, her and her brother, because their beds were for their guests. And just a real, drop everything. 2 in the middle of the night, no problem. You hungry? We'll make you some dinner. And that's how it is still today in Israel, in the Eastern culture in a lot of countries. And so here it was here. But what a family of servants, and a wonderful way to be welcomed. And I probably should have kept my finger while I'm yapping here. But then he unloaded the camels. And so in verse 33, "But when the food was set before him to eat, he said, 'I will not eat until I have told my business.'" And so Eleazar he's like, this is very pressing. Why I'm here, what I'm here for, I need to speak. And so he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he's become rich. And he's given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he's given him all that he has." So Isaac is now the heir of all of Abram's goods and household. "My master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for him.' I said to my master, 'Suppose the woman doesn't want to follow me.'" Good point, right? Suppose she doesn't want to come across the planet to come back here to a stranger. He said to me, "The Lord, before whom I have walked, will send his angel with you to make your journey successful. And you'll take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. Then you will be free from my oath when you come to my relatives. And if they do not give her to you, you'll be free from my oath." So either way, if she's going to go with you, You're free from this oath of finding a wife for my son. If she doesn't want to come, no problem. You've done your duty. You're a faithful servant. Verse 42, "So I came today," this is Eliezer giving his account of what had just happened. "I came today to the spring and said, 'O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, if now you will make my journey on which I go successful. Behold, I'm standing by the spring, and may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw and to whom I say, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and she will say to me, you drink, and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the one for whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son.' Before I had finished speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. I said to her, 'Please let me drink.'" So he's still praying. In this account, he's saying the words were still on my lips, and she appeared with this jar on her shoulder. It's incredible. And so, "Please let me drink." Verse 46, "She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder and said, 'Drink, and I will water your camels also.' So I drank, and she watered the camels also. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him. And I put the ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists. And I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. And so this woman, Rebecca, has already expressed her willingness, and he bows low to the Lord. He's just humbled by God's provision. And so now, verse 49, if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, let me know that I may turn to the right hand or the left. So like, if it's a no-go, all right, just let me know because I don't want to waste time here. And can I have that nose ring and those wristlets back, please? They're expensive, man. It's like a, you know, engagement ring here. And so Laban and Bethuel replied, we cannot speak to you good or bad. Here's Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. These are men of faith. Her family has this beautiful faith in the Lord, and they're like, what can we say, man? I mean, this is obviously God. He has done this. We can't speak to you good or bad on this matter. Go ahead. It's indisputable. This is the hand of God. And so here is Rebecca. Take her and go. When Abraham's servant heard their words, again, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And then the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. And when they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. So he's excited. This is something he can't wait to bring this beautiful Rebecca home to his master Abraham and Abraham's son Isaac for a bride. But her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterwards she may go. And so they don't want to see her go. This is huge. Like all of a sudden our baby is leaving. Wait, can we just have a little time? Can we just, 10 days, that's all we ask. And he said to them, do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, well, we'll call the girl and consult her wishes. So they're like, let's see what Rebecca has to say. And this is her mother, her brother. This is her dear family. When they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. She was ready. She was ready. As much as she was going to miss her family, as much as she was going to say goodbye to them, she's not going back to Mesopotamia from Canaan land. That's way too big of a journey. This is a one-time, one-way trip. And so thus they sent away their sister Rebecca and her nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. So they give her this blessing. And it's almost like that bridesmaid's toast at the wedding, because they're not going to be there for the wedding, but they love her. And they got that blessing in, and they sent her, and really in believing God's promise to their kin, Abraham, that, he would be the father of many nations, they're praying, or they're giving a blessing to her accordingly. In verse 61, then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Verse 62, now Isaac had come from going to Be'er Lahairoi, for he was living in the Negev, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And so there he is. What's meditating in the field? That's waiting on the Lord. That's a wonderful thing that we all ought to do, having that quiet time before him, before our king. And that's what Isaac was doing in the field. It was that dusk time. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. So you can kind of see the scene of that. It's a desert Mediterranean landscape, and the sun is probably below the horizon, but you've still got that twilight sky, and 10 camels in their that very unique way that they walk with those humps and people on them, and not just guys. There's a couple of wahine. There's a couple of girls. As he looks and he sees those silhouettes. And so as they were coming, Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. Quick little side note, I had a friend back in the day, came out of the world and all the vices that you have in the world, and he's like, "Hey, Jake, did you know there's smoking in the Bible?" I'm like, "No, there's not." He goes, "Oh yeah, the King James, it says Rebecca lighted off her camel." Terrible, terrible. But I'm reading from the NASB, and it doesn't say that. It says she dismounted from the camel. In verse 65, she said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "He's my master." Then she took her veil and covered herself, putting that lovely, modest veil over her face. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into her mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I could just stop there, and we could be done. It's just such, God is so faithful, and it's such a lovely story. Imagine Isaac, he's like praying, and just, you know, in the evening, faithfully before the Lord, 40 years old, and his wife just comes up to him on a camel, just shows up. Well, like I said, I'd love to share our story. My wife, Dorita, was here singing in her hot red pants tonight. But that's my bride, 19 years this year. But so 19 years ago, actually this month in February, we got married in July, but 19 years ago in February, see how fast things moved in 2005. Pastor Bill had recently, I was just on staff, I was an assisting pastor, and I worked at K-Lite Radio full-time, our radio stations, and we had a guy that was transitioning out. He was going in the military, and he was my boss. He was the station manager at K-Lite, and so I was going to be the manager of these radio stations all of a sudden. Like, you know, I didn't, deer in headlights, okay, but the Lord's faithful. And so Pastor Bill sent me to a conference on the mainland as a means of just to bolster me and, you know, make me feel equipped and encourage me. So it was the first ever Calvary Chapel radio conference for radio ministry back in 05. It was at the former Marietta Bible College campus, beautiful hot springs and dorms and gorgeous landscape and ponds and places to just wait on the Lord and meditate all over the place. Lovely spot. And so I went there first time ever at that campus. And but little perspective, I was 30 at the time, and I had been, you know, I'd failed in my walk with the Lord, if you want to call it that, and had gone astray from the Lord for a decade or so, and tried my own way, you know, had a long-term relationship with a girl and lived with each other and did all of that and never got married. And I know why now. My mom admitted it. She's right here. But we were praying that the Lord would just burn that relationship to the ground, son, because it wasn't of the Lord. I wasn't walking with the Lord, but he did. He caused it to. And that was a big part of me coming back to the Lord, was when my heartache and going through that time of heartache from breaking up. But so I had relationships, and even when I came back to the Lord, I moved back to Hawaii, and I after college, and I had this, you know, season where I was just, Lord, I'm just whatever you have. I don't even care about love and all of that. I just want to serve you. And in the midst of that, then you start kind of feeling lonely, and like I said, you're seeing people around you. And I remember I had a few different, you know, things happen, other relationship, short-term things, and. Like, you know, she loved the Lord, I love the Lord, it's got to be right. And it wasn't. It still wasn't. That doesn't necessarily, you know, mean it's the Lord's plan. But it was, I felt like I was in no man's land in ministry at 30 years old. I know maybe some of you here, you're in that post-college, pre-marriage season of life. And I think nothing's really changed. It feels like that generational, there's a generational gap. It's kids and families. And the in-between is just kind of missing from the church. It's a season where a lot of people walk away from the Lord and bail out on that walk. That's what I did. And so this was kind of the end of that season of my life, and now I had come back to the Lord, but I'm still going like, where, Lord, how am I ever going to meet a girl here? They're all, you know, 20 years older than me or 10 years younger than me, and it just didn't feel like it was going to happen. But I had seasons where I was just praying, fasting. Matter of fact, the fall before this, I was fasting and like intentionally like, Lord, I'm just waiting on you for a wife and your perfect timing. I don't want to rush it, but time's ticking, Lord. And so anyway, that's a little perspective on things. And I was serving the Lord. So, you know, it's, I think there's a lot of, you have a lot of weight and a lot more authority once you have a family. I remember that time where people kind of, you don't know what you're talking about. And I didn't, but the Word does. So I just fell back, you know, fell behind the Word in counseling and stuff. But I felt that way. And I wanted, you know, them to recognize this. The validation isn't me not being married. It's God's Word. And but anyway, so there was that too. Go to this conference. I'm there the first night. I'm, you know, again, I'm 30. So I was surfing all the time still back then, very active and healthy. And I'm in a dorm, and this is, again, I just want to tell the story, build it up so you get the full perspective, but I'm in a dorm with four other guys that are all there from different places all over the U.S. and even from the world. But so I have four roommates. It's these college-style dorms. They had beds all over, and it's bedtime. The lights go out. We all decide it's time to go to bed. I noticed, though, when I walked in, I'm like, oh, no. Like, there was two different beds with CPAP machines. I'm like, this could be loud. This could be loud, you know. I know those help you not snore, but I just realized that. And so I lay down, and it is a straight up sawmill. There's the, you know, all the guys were pretty big, and they're just snoring so loud. It was beyond like your imagination. I know we have guys retreats now. Now I'm that guy. Now that's me too. So sorry, young guys, when we go to those men's retreats, but. Sorry, Dorita, because she deals with it all the time, every night. But so I'm just tossing and turning. You got to be kidding. I'm like, I'm not going to catch a word of the sessions all day the next day. I'm not going to sleep. And so I literally had wadded up paper, toilet paper, you know, like when you used to go concerts when you're in high school or whatever. And then I had a beanie because it was in California, I was cold. And then I had a hoodie and I zipped it and pulled the drawstring. And then I folded my extra pillow and it was just, you heard everything. It didn't work. And I'm like, I'm not going to sleep. So anyway, I get up and I'm like muttering because I'm so frustrated. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And I'm walking out. And as I crack the door and the light, I see, and there's another guy, you too? There was another pastor in the room. So it was three guys snoring and two guys suffering. And I'm like, oh man, that's brutal. And so he came out and we just went out and we laughed it off in the lobby there at the dorm. And it's, you know, like whatever, two or something in the morning, three in the morning, I think actually. And we're like, this is tough. I haven't slept yet. And we just passed out on the couches there in the front and fell asleep because it was quieter there, even though there's lights on and everything. And anyway, this is building up to the point that the next day, this pastor, he goes, hey, guess what? I was like, maybe after the first session that we had, he goes, there's a guy that's leaving, my friend, and my friend from Iowa is leaving. And so he says he's got a two-bed dorm and you and I can have it. And so, yes, oh, Jehovah Jireh, you know, a ram in the thicket he provided in that time. And so we were both stoked, just like, okay, good, we'll get some rest. I'm going to go to bed early tonight. And had a wonderful day of ministry, just really encouraging. And, you know, interestingly enough, I had at that time, there was a girl that I had been conversing with. She was on the Big Island. But she and I had been talking on the phone. She was a Christian and stuff. And so I even spoke to her that day, I remember this, on the phone, while I'm at this duck pond there at Murrieta, you know, and it was fun, you know, you're just kind of thinking, oh, see where this goes. But so it was on my mind. And nevertheless, that evening, I come back to the dorm and Greg and I are like, yeah, we'll check in early and pass out, get a real nice sleep. And He's a senior pastor of a Calvary Chapel. It's in Clarinda, Iowa. Clarinda Falls, Iowa, something like that. So he was out here for that. He had a radio station with his church too. So we just start talking. He was about 10 years older than me. He had a family with a bunch of kids already. And we're just sharing. It was such a sweet, the presence of the Lord was in the room that night. And we just talked and fellowshipping. And he, we were talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and these different things. But at one point he goes, "Hey Jake, how are you dealing with your singlehood as a young pastor?" And I was like, man, I love it that he asked that, because that's on my mind, you know. And immediately I'm like, "Greg, I'm 30 years old and I long for my bride. I'm ready, you know." But, and then I told him, I've made my own mistakes and tried it my own way in the past. And I know it's worth, you know, I it wasn't worth it. And I just got to wait on the Lord. But I'm ready. I long for her. And he just, you know, really encouraged me. And he's like, "Let me pray for you, bro." And he put his hands on me and prayed. And it was just super sweet. And I remember, you know, just being fully supercharged, encouraged. And went out and just basked in one of the hot tubs, the hot springs, the sulfur springs there at the campus. And I was just like, "Lord, you're so good. Thank you for reminding me that," and stuff. Well, go to sleep. The next morning, Pastor Greg had apparently been up long before me, and he's there with, like, they had this little, like, lazy boy chair, and he's across from my bed, like, from my eyes, and I, like, my eyes crack open. He's like, "Good morning, bro." And he's like, "Hey, man, Lord put you on my heart this morning." I'm like, "Oh, wow, that's a great, like, that's not a rude awakening. That's a wonderful way to wake up." I'm like, "Wow." And he goes, "Yeah, as a matter of fact, he's giving me a word of encouragement for you." I'm like, "Okay, wow, let's go," you know? And so he said, "You know, in the book of Genesis chapter 24, there's this wonderful story of Isaac and Rebekah." And of course I knew that. Of course, you know, I was an assisting pastor. I knew that. But I'm like, "This is fresh manna. Yes, go on, Greg." And so he starts, and I whip open my Bible and start, you know, in chapter 24, just following along. He's just summarizing it, just like we read right now, and tells the whole story of how the servant got to the spring. And there he got on his knees and he said, "Lord, may the woman who I asked for water, and she offers to water my camels as well, let her be the appointed one for thy servant Isaac. And by this I'll know that you've shown loving kindness to my master." And he said that, you know, he points out that while the prayer was still on his lips, Rebekah shows up. And he said, "Look how the chapter ends, Jake." He says, "You know, in the next chapter 25, it says that Isaac was 40 years old." And my heart's like, "What? I gotta wait 10 years? Is that what, Lord, is that what you're trying to tell me?" You know, it's immediately. But not so. That wasn't the point. But he said, "Look at the end of the chapter. Isaac was meditating in the field. He was waiting on the Lord right where he should be. He was doing what he was called to do as a man of the Lord, as a man of God. And Rebekah just appeared in his life. She just showed up." And, you know, he said, "You keep doing what you're called to do. You keep serving the Lord in ministry. Just be faithful in what he's called you to do. Stay put. She'll show up." And the neat thing was, again, like I mentioned, when I had been fasting in that prior season, the Lord had given me a word, and I journaled it. My mom and I talk about that she's right around the corner. She's right around the corner, you know. And so I was thinking that, you know. And then he said that, and I'm like, "Wow, okay." And so when he shared that, it was very encouraging. But when I was reading this and he's recounting it, what stood out to me was that while the words were still on Eliezer's lips, she appeared. And I'm like, yeah, I hadn't really been praying, you know, for a wife and waiting on the Lord for that, even though I wanted a wife, you know. And so I'm like, "Lord, I'm ready. Here I am. You know, your servant Jake awaits his bride." And just praying in my heart immediately and steadily from when he shared that morning and went to breakfast and then go to the sessions until about maybe 2 hours later, the end of the session, they're selling the conference audio back when you'd buy MP3 discs. So I bought the MP3 set on 3 CDs or whatever of all the different sessions of the speakers. And lo and behold, this lovely little girl, little woman, is working the audio table, my wife Dorita now. And she was selling the audio. And it was just, she was probably the only, not only the only girl there, but like the only cute human at the whole conference, all these boring radio guys and me. And so she was bored to tears, you know? And so I was like, oh, another young person and whatever. But there was clearly a little bit of a chemistry going on just in talking and kind of like, oh, this is, oh, okay, what's up, you know? And, As I like to put it, there was the chemistry, the romantic chemistry, but there was also some spiritual chemistry going on that I didn't realize at the time. But anyway, she gets up and she tells the people that she's working with, she's like, I'm going to go grab lunch. And I don't know if that was her plan or what, but I'm like, yeah, me too. I don't know if she was doing that as an opportunity, but I never asked her that. But anyway, so I got up like, hey, I'll walk you to the cafeteria, you know. So we walked, and it's a distance across the campus, and just talking. And I was just asking her about herself, and she was telling me how she had moved here from Albania to California to the U.S. and was on a student visa, and she had recently turned down a great job offer at the time. It was a pretty impressive salary because she had her Albanian and her American college degrees in criminal justice and stuff. And so she turned it down because she had already accepted a ministry opportunity with the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck Smith's ministry. So she said, yeah, so I'm working, at the Word for Today, and that's why I'm here. That's why she was working that audio table, just kind of like whatever they need help with on the weekends or whatever, she would sometimes be in those areas. And so anyway, she's sharing that and just saying how, she knew she had to just follow the Lord's lead and stuff. And it so encouraged me, because here's this fellow, almost 30-year-old and beautiful, but that she had really kind of denied the path that the world had to offer for the sake of the ministry. And that's not everyone's calling, but it was mine. And I felt like I was the only one at that time, poor little old me, but I just felt like, man, I'm the only one. Like, I see my friends buying houses and up on Pupukea and flying planes and doing all this stuff, and I'm like, I'm paying rent here, barely. And anyway, it was just one of those things where it was really encouraging, and I'm just going, wow, this girl is the real deal. You're beautiful inside and out. And so I come back to Hawaii. That was it. If we had a 45-minute exchange, come back to Hawaii, and I'm back in, at my quiet time at home in Mililani at the time. And anyway, my phone rings, and she answers the phone. Hello, is Mr. O'Neill there? This is the Word for Today. I'm like, yeah, hi. And she said, we had an issue with your bank card when you bought audio, and we need to clear that up. And I was like, oh, okay. So we figured it out. I had gotten a new card while I was on my trip in the mail. And anyway, so in the midst of that, at the end of the call, I just said, hey, do you know Dorita Rutsai? And the lady, her name was Priscilla. She goes, yes. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, can you tell her I said hi? And she goes, sure, full ante, like hooking it up kind of thing. And I honestly just thought it would be a nice thing. I didn't have any thought beyond that, really. I just thought, yeah, let her know I said hi because we met, But she thought more of it. So I come to work. I'd had my quiet time and all that. Came to work. I'm here at K-Light. I'm rounding my desk that I do every day. And same number. And I'm like, oh, no. They're still having, it's embarrassing. I'm a pastor and they can't get payment for this audio or whatever. And I'm like, don't tell me, as Priscilla. And she goes, oh, no, that's fine. You were right, it all sorted out. She goes, but, you asked me to say hello to Dorita. She's right here, you wanna talk to her? and she was in another desk, but I go, I have straight up movie scene, I didn't even realize. I'm like, oh yeah, of course, but I so caught off guard, like to talk to a girl at that point, I wasn't ready. You got to psych up for this stuff, But, so anyway, obviously we had something going on. Immediately she patched me through to her desk. We started, just a short conversation, but it was very nice. And, sparks flying right away and stuff. And so we continued just connecting, and I started, being, both of us were very distracted with thoughts of one another and calling back when minutes after 9 o'clock were free or whatever. And, you know, we ran out of our texts because we, you know, you only get so many texts back then and without paying a ton. So we'd run out of them. So then we had to wait till, and she had to wait longer because she was in California, you know, it was 9 p.m. Hawaii time or whatever it was. Anyway, we're trying to take it easy. Like, we both knew better. We knew we had to guard our hearts. As a Christian single, we had learned that. We'd made that mistake of not just jumping in the, you know, into the relationship, telling everything about yourself and, you know, leaving nothing to grow together with, or just it's all out there and, you know, spill your guts. And instead, we were being protective of our, I was protecting myself, she was protecting herself. But we're having fun. And one night, or one afternoon, we were talking, and I was through the calls of, as we're talking, I would occasionally be like, well, you know what? Yeah, when you're over here, when you're visiting, we can do that. And, or we'll talk about that or whatever. And I was just kind of flirting, you know? And anyway, so one night I'm saying that, and I'm like, yeah, well, you know, when you come over to Hawaii, we'll do this or that. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, nah, you know, just if you come over here. And she goes, no, like, what are we doing here? Like, am I going to come to Hawaii? Like, what does that mean? And I'm like, whoo, oh, you want to talk about that? Oh, okay. I was having fun, but yeah, you're right. Like, we got to get, you know, so she was being serious. And I was like, whoo, okay, well, yeah, let's talk. And so she said, you know, what are we doing? And I remember I had been thinking about this. I already knew I was going to tell her because it was something really that I processed. And I said, well, you know, Dorita, you know, you're an amazing person. I've never met anyone like you. And here we are, you know, obviously there's something going on, and I've made my, you know, wasted time in the past. I don't want to be vague with you. I said, I'm getting to know you with the intention of possibly marrying you. That's the hope I have in this relationship. And I'm not going to spin your wheels and waste your time. That's why we're in this, you know? And she goes, okay. And I thought that was a pretty flattering thing to say, like, yeah, Jake, you're the man to say something like that, a Christian guy and stuff. But she just goes, oh, cool, you know, okay, yeah. But has the Lord been speaking to you? And I was like, well, as a matter of fact, Dorita, you know, and we're on the phone. I was actually in K-Lite at the studio at the time, but we were in an old room. Anyway, I'm like, yeah, you know, as a matter of fact, and so just a little perspective, from the day that I had met her, I'd been reading Genesis 24 daily. I'd been reading it, just squeezing every ounce out of it, Lord, praying over it, Lord, what do you have for me? And so I'd just been reading it and knew it well at that point. And so I'm just talking to her, and I start telling her, well, Dorita, the morning I met you, a pastor that I, you know, shared our dorm with, he was just encouraging me, and he took me to Genesis 24, and he started just showing me how, you know, Isaac and Rebekah met, and the pastor was pointing it out, and it says that Eliezer, he left, and he got to Nahor, and he knelt at the stream, at the well, and he got on his knees, and he said, Lord, may the woman who I ask for water, and she offers to water my camels as well, let her be the appointed one for thy servant Isaac. And by this I'll know you've shown loving kindness to my master. And I was real hesitant to share this with her, but I was like, well, this is what the Lord's done for me. And I even prefaced it. I'm like, I don't want to put you on the spot here. I'm not trying to manipulate this, what's going on, but this is what the Lord did. And so I said, you know, let her be the appointed one for thy servant Isaac. And by this I'll know you've shown loving kindness to my master. And Dorita, the Bible says that before the words were finished off, coming off his lips, that Rebecca appeared with a jar on her shoulder. And I said, I was praying right then and there that morning when you appeared in my life with a jar on your shoulder, and I find it of no coincidence. And the Lord has just been speaking to me ever since then. And look where this relationship is going and what it's blooming into. And so I just feel like the Lord did that to encourage me. And I really walked out on a limb with this. You know, I mean, we're serious, but I don't know where she's at with where we're feeling and stuff. And because we didn't really talk about that. We were just enjoying getting to know each other lightly. And it was full radio silence on the phone. like crickets chirping, pins dropping, like nothing. And what felt like an eternity, she goes, I can't believe you just said that. And I'm like, throw me a bone here. What do you mean? And she goes, I can't believe you just said that. She repeated herself. I know, I heard you say that. What do you mean, you know? And she said, well, Jake, last October, this was February, I was in my quiet time and I was praying to the Lord and just, you know, but my quiet time was in Genesis 24. And as I was reading it, I got to verse 14 and where it says, let her be the appointed one for your servant Isaac. And by this I'll know you've shown loving kindness to my master. The Lord really ministered to me that I'm someone's appointed one. And she said, I kind of like put a challenge before the Lord, like a test. And he spoke to me that I'll hear the Genesis 24:14 from the lips of my husband without him knowing it. And she journaled that. She shared it with all of her sisters in the church that the Lord's going to give me a husband who's going to quote Genesis 24:14 without him even realizing it. And that's exactly what happened. And she tells me this, and I literally on the phone, like, no way! This is the best possible thing you could have said. This is guaranteed right here, like, stamp of heaven. And I was so blown away. She was like nervously blown away, like she didn't know it. She thought that by saying that she was being too forward. I kind of felt like I had gone out on a limb by sharing this scripture. And yet it was all the Lord. He had intended it from the beginning. And yeah, praise the Lord. And it was so just supernatural for us. I remember I went back, I was house sitting at the time. Danny Lehman used to live in Waikele before they moved to Kona, and they were off island, so I was house sitting their house and their dogs and sitting in his Lazy Boy and just like going, Lord, again, you know, from the hot spring to this Lazy Boy. And Dory, we're on the phone, we like never hung up, I'm like driving, talking and all that, and she said, hey, read me chapter 24. And right before that we were talking, and she said, so what are we going to do? How's this going to work out? You moving to California? She's a feisty one, by the way. I'm like, I don't know. We'll see what the Lord has. I mean, I know he's called me to this ministry and stuff, but we'll see. And she was almost trying to pick a fight. Like, what are you going to do? You're going to try and boss me around already? You know, that's just who she is. And, I was like, oh, we'll see what the Lord says and what he does. But anyway, so I read chapter 24 and at the last verse it says, he took Rebecca. Then Isaac brought her in. Go back a few verses. I'm jumping the gun. It says, I will go. And when I read that, I didn't know what was going on in Dory's heart, but he was just totally breaking her. I mean, she just found out that she's got a husband, and then she finds out that she's going to go. She's going to leave California and all of her spiritual support and the good church and the ministry and all that stuff and just come to another foreign land from, you know, Tirana, Albania to California to Hawaii and stuff. And so a few months later, we knew there was no question after letting our family know and what? But they hear the story. Matter of fact, Pastor Travis, he's in Japan. He goes, I can't speak good or bad, bro. Can't speak good or bad, just like Laban and his their mother said, because it was the hand of the Lord. And so she moved out here and she lived in my mother's tent, my mom and dad's house. While we were engaged, I had another place. And so we were married in July 23rd, 2005, and we've been married since then. But the Lord is so faithful. And I share that story as hopefully an encouragement to those of you that are maybe in that season of life. I know I don't want it to be all about us and about me, but I do want you to know that he is good and that his waiting on his timing and his promises are far beyond, you know, they're going to blow out of the water any plans you could come up with. You know, I don't know. You can, what is it? E-harmony or what? I mean, you can find your own right way. And I don't discount any of that. I've met happily married Christians, but I know that you want whatever it is, let the Lord be in it, you know? And he's had his fingerprints over our family since then, our two children, Emma and Asher, just been more than a blessing to us. And we just see God's faithfulness. So I encourage you guys, you know, don't look for another Isaac and Rebecca story necessarily, but God is unconventional in his ways. And realize that this Rebecca for Isaac, she was an appointed one. As I open in prayer, we're the appointed bride for Christ, our bridegroom. And he will send for us one day, and we will all together in very holy matrimony be one with him for eternity. And that's the ultimate marriage. That's what our marriages here on earth are to be a little picture of. And it's a sweet thing. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. You guys want to stand up? So we can, we'll close with a worship song after that. But thanks for, hopefully you enjoyed it. But thanks, if not, thanks for enduring somebody's personal story and testimony. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do just rejoice in your goodness. We look back at this wonderful story of Abraham's son Isaac and how faithful you were for him, bringing him his beautiful bride. And the scripture says she was lovely. She was very beautiful. And Lord, we know that to be the case inside and out. And Lord, I pray that for those that are within earshot, that maybe are longing for that same earthly marriage relationship. Lord, it is a wonderful thing. You said that he who has found a wife has found a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. And if that's the desire, Lord, we know that you'll meet it on your schedule. And Lord, whether it be 30 years old or 40 years old or 65 years old or 72 or whatever age it is, Lord, whatever season of life it is, it's your timing is perfect. And that's what we ask for. But I would pray that you would just give diligent hearts and that patience for those that are waiting. Lord, we thank you for bringing Rebecca, because when you did, they had kids and the promise continued. And down the line, our Savior was born through that line, Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We are your bride, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.